a chip. So say goodbye to everything you ever knew before. And I'd understand if you went running out the door. And I'll keep you safe, and no harm will ever come to you, I swear. And I'll kill if they even dare.
What are you doing over there?
Hi.
Hi. Oh.
I'm really high.
Okay.
And
good.
I'm pretty good. Sure you might be partially
There's a
high.
Contact buzz.
It's foggy.
This is round two for our recording tonight because I got laughing so hard that
We don't have to do that very often, but no, you are definitely high.
Good. I don't know.
Also, you did a great job on the podcast room. Welcome.
Thank you.
To Michigan Murders and Music, where we discuss murders in our gorgeous state, and we top it off with a little homegrown music, leaving you with a happy ending and on a good note.
And thank you for letting us seep into your ears. Do you have somebody to thank?
I have so many people, I couldn't list them all.
Oh.
I want to thank everybody for Fair their enough. Messages of support, and if you would like a free sticker, shoot us an email. We'll send you a free sticker.
I do have an explicit content warning.
Frick four, frickin' fracking. Do you have a fart loading t-shirt on?
Yes, I do. Because I'm immature.
12-year-old. All the time. Everywhere around me, 12-year-old.
So my explicit content warning is has to do with Her Highness, first of all.
What did I do this time?
Exactly. Well, she's going to say naughty things, offensive things.
Fucking boatload of and, smoke in your face.
Yeah, and she does things, says things that are offensive.
I do not. All I that, do, I put my goddamn
so keep
head
your
down.
Kids away from this podcast, and everyone will be okay. Also, if your wife or significant other hangs a disco ball in the front window, and then the sunshine comes in and turns your entire living room into a 1978
Dude,
disco theater.
Great morning.
It was.
I got high. I had a Jeter. I was all hopped up on my.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Coffee.
We play disco music.
You guys. Go get a disco ball planter. Fuck, if you're not a plant mom
just
or
get
dad,
a disco ball.
Get a disco ball. All of a sudden, just unexpectedly, you'll walk out of your bedroom and there's a goddamn disco going on and you're just like, dance, dance, dance. You got to start. Yeah, it's. And you can't help. You're back into roller skating world.
Oh, totally.
All of the things. Those planners.
It was so fun.
Have been the best.
We would like to keep our podcast commercial free and independent. So if you are feeling a little tipsy, check out our website.
You know, that's been the problem with me, Boo.
What?
I haven't been very tipsy lately.
Oh.
I'm sober as fuck.
Yes.
I'm back on my horse and I'm getting ready to ride her again.
This week, we are featuring a band called Inaudible Darling.
The song name is Dink. D-I-N-K. Yeah.
You know,
isn't that great?
We did, Chad and I at work did a comparison of a ding ding versus a dong.
Size. You know, would you just fucking work for once?
Okay.
We work in the same building now, people, and it's not okay. It's not okay. Fucker never does a goddamn thing.
But nothing's ever broken, is it? Because I fixed it.
Shut up in your face. Throw up your hand.
Right here. We're going to Chesterfield Township.
Which
right
is
right
where?
Down here near Detroit.
Oh, Detroit.
Yep. Detroit-ish.
I throw so much trash your way, and you guys have our most listeners, and I feel like I should do like a sideshow. A sideshow. I am a circus sideshow. But I feel like we should just do Detroit stories just for you guys.
Yeah, if you peel the curtain back,
Michigan
you'll find
murders
Her
and
Highness.
Music Detroit style. 313. I don't know. Crickets. Did you hear
why
crickets
is,
just
why
now?
Is my nose whistling?
I heard crickets.
God damn it.
This week we're talking about Arthur Levon Williamson, MDOC 237315.
Born on September 26th, 1967.
He resides Charles Engelbert Reception and Dance Center.
And so, Humperdink.
You know my e-notebook thing? Mm. It accidentally erased residence center, and it just said dance center. And I fucking laughed at my own damn self for 10 minutes because it was Charles Engelbert.
At the dance center.
Reception and dance center. You know who else is there?
Who?
Chad Allen Reed.
I bet they're best friends by now.
They're besties. Oh my God, will you hold my pinky?
Yes.
Hold my pinky. Oh. Hi.
Ow. Oh. What'd you hurt me with that?
Sorry.
He started working on his criminal career at least by the age of 26.
What'd you do? Just step what? From what I can tell, Arthur grew up in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
And then he started working on his
God damn it, woman. I'm going to wrestle you to the ground.
That's when this paper trail starts as an adult, and who knows what juvenile crimes he could have been accountable for.
In 1993, Arthur was charged with controlled substance, delivery, and manufacturing of narcotics.
It was cocaine. Oh. In particularly cocaine. 50 grams.
Oh.
Of cocaine.
That's very specific.
It's just cocaine.
For that offense, he was released on January 17th of 2002.
So his time served was from April 28, 1994 to January 27, 2002, after receiving an early discharge.
Why do they do that?
Oh, to piss me off.
Oh, okay.
And to piss other true crimers off.
Oh, yeah. On March 3 of 2013, Arthur was involved in a situation which ended in two charges.
Breaking and entering a building with intent.
To do something.
And when he got busted, he was resisting an officer of the law, so he got charged.
He was sentenced on March 17th, 2014, and he was released for those crimes on December 12th of 2015.
The next bust that he got, like, busted for would happen 3 years later on October 3rd, 2018. Arthur
was that
2018.
Okay.
Arthur was involved in an altercation and was charged with aggravated assault and interfering with electronic communications.
Which brings a lot of questions to my mind. Did he have a jammer of something?
I don't know.
I know. It's not very clear.
Could be a lot of things. He was sentenced for that altercation on June 15, 2019.
He was sentenced for that altercation on June 5, 2019. Arthur was discharged without improvement on July 7th.
Without fucking improvement.
2022.
I've read a lot of things.
He didn't become a Christian.
Never one time has it said on their fucking paperwork that they're discharged without improvement.
Just like, let them go.
What the fucking fuck is that supposed to mean? Oh, you're drinking PBRs tonight?
It's Department of Corrections.
Everybody will be so thrilled to know you moved on for a minute. Not for long, guys. Summer's almost here. He's going to get those pink.
I'm a man
lines.
Now. I am a man. I knew I could do it. It's just hard going in my throat. You know?
So with Arthur being discharged without improvement in July of 2022, I think he was on parole when this story that we're about to tell you happens.
Not sure. I don't know.
I'm not positive. Don't quote me on that one. You know I'm not positive on shit.
Nothing changes anything.
I do what I can do.
On the evening of September 23rd, 2022, Arthur LaVon Williamson was starting to celebrate his birthday weekend.
Happy birthday.
Is that a thing?
To me. Weekend. I have a fucking, the older you get, the more time you get to celebrate.
Like a whole month?
Yeah, that's what I do. You see the credit card bill.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm going to Blue October for my birthday.
Yes, you are. But your birthday's in December.
Yeah, and I'm going to see him in March.
Yes.
And I'm doing
nothing
the pre-show.
Makes sense anymore.
Pre-show. Okay, we should probably get back to the story. Blue October. Ring me up.
He called Nicole, who had been his friend for a few years.
Yeah, he called Nicole in the middle of the night. I believe it was around 4 a.m. And he said, yo, Nicole, buddy, it's my birthday weekend. I got a little something for you, girl.
A little something something's right.
I got some something. Can I come on over?
To give a bit of history of the two, they had been friends. He was also her drug dealer, which comes with an automatic friendship type situation.
You know, Boo, you've never gone to buy drugs except for at a legal weed store. So
yeah, and that was
when
very
you go
awkward.
To get drugs, you become friends with the people, whether they're really friends or just a friend. They became friends.
So, however, there are reports stating that the two of them had dated and had sexual encounters. Oh.
At the time, Nicole was living with her baby's daddy, Jim Matthews, real last name is Nikolai, and their two children, who were ages 10 and 5.
Nicole had known Jim for around 21 years at this point.
And when Nicole was 25, they had a baby boy, and around the age of 30, they had their baby girl. And while the relationship was on and off, their parenting never was. They were good co-parenters.
I never saw in print that Nicole and Jim were doing drugs, and apparently it was very clear that Nicole was.
Yes, she remained friends with Arthur because of this reason. So basically, I don't know if Jim did drugs or cocaine or anything, and I won't claim that he did. Everybody in the story except for Arthur is a victim.
Fact is, Nicole says that Arthur is her best friend. So when he calls her at the crack of black in the morning, she answered his call.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Arthur arrived at Nicole and Jim's home around 4:35 a.m. that morning with his little something for her. Surprise! It's crack. Cocaine and some heroin.
Oh, it's perfect.
Heroin.
Nicole was all for starting Arthur's birthday weekend off with him.
It's drugs, yo.
Yeah.
Jim worked nights at the local news radio station, and the kids were in bed on the school night.
I wonder what he did there at the radio station.
He was a news anchor.
Oh.
He was an AM radio station.
On
He's
news.
A news
nice.
Dude.
Arthur crapped. Oh.
Yo, Boo, you gonna crap open another PBR?
I'm gonna crap one open right now.
I'm never gonna hear this.
God damn it.
Arthur cracked open a few beers, and the two of them stepped into the closet to smoke a little crack.
Why in the closet?
Why
are they
know,
doing that?
Because I don't know.
To hide, they feel a little
I understand,
safe.
But they had a garage. Why did they go out to the garage so they weren't like
in, so weird.
It might have been a walk-in closet. It could have been big, but still, it's weird to me.
Yeah.
And even as a weed smoker, when you had to hide from your kids and shit, I didn't go into the closet.
Oh, you went. So before things were legal, remember?
Yeah.
People going out on our little back porch and locking them out themselves out there.
No.
No, it wasn't at my house.
Mm-mm. It was not happening.
The two stepped out of the closet and enjoyed their drug high together.
And this is when, at one point, Arthur said his hubcap was coming off of his car. So we needed a hammer. So the two of them then stepped into the garage together and got the hammer. And then they went back inside to the condo to continue partying.
This is where things get really disturbing. And I have a hard time with this one because
you
it's
do.
Really
each time you read this story.
It's disturbing.
You read it last week and you read it this week, and both times you said, it's disturbing. We've done some pretty disturbing
stories, this one seems to go over the top.
It gets to you for some reason.
When Nicole finally asked Arthur to take off because it was time for her to get the kids up for school, he became crackigated, which is Mary's term for agitation from crack.
I'm such an asshole.
Yeah.
This is according to Nicole's story told at that preliminary hearing when Arthur pulled out a knife and wanted to role play. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Everyone role plays.
Yeah, sometimes.
So they, you know, when she asked him to leave, he got all crackigated and he pulled out a knife and he said, I'm not leaving. Let's role play.
Nicole wasn't really fazed by the request as it's something that they had done in the past.
Role playing, that is.
Yeah.
With what she thought was a fake knife pointed at her, Arthur told her to tie herself up. And he provided her with the supplies to do so.
She did so because she thought the knife was fake and they were still playing. And then Arthur sliced her throat.
Yeah. She didn't feel the cut, though. I hear that a lot.
It wasn't a death cut.
No. It was definitely a significant cut, but she was still kind of thinking the knife was fake because she didn't really feel anything, but then she saw blood. And then shit got real for her. Then Arthur retied her or tightened her the ties that she had done, and he put her in the closet.
Seriously, how big is this closet? Because they're in there.
It's a walk-in closet, yo.
Apparently, I'm just picturing our closet.
The closet comes closets don't go in very far.
No.
They're like rectangle. Yeah, they're... It's got to be a walk-in closet or some sort of.
I hope so. Otherwise, it's.
I don't know these details, but I sure wish I did. Because, damn it, this fucking closet comes into play.
It's a thing. This is when Arthur announced to her that his plan all along was to kill Jim.
Oh, so she's sitting there tied up, and he's all crackigated, and he's like, my whole plan this whole night was to kill your baby's daddy when he gets home. And she's tied up with her throat cut in the closet. So Arthur leaves the room and Nicole scooted from the closet to the doorway to kind of see what Arthur was doing. This is a very inappropriate time to start laughing. What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's the dog scooting on the thing.
She's a victim of the story. God damn it.
Stop smoking weed, god damn it. It's not my fault.
Come on, we're only halfway through. Okay. Pull it together, man.
Why so serious? What's wrong with you? Why are you so serious? All right.
It's what gets you through the true crime part of it.
This is what gets me in trouble all the time. I start laughing because I get something in my head, and next thing you know, I'm the one in trouble.
Arthur left the room. Okay, I'm not going to say it.
I am trying so
hard. You were
hard.
Turning 18 I'm trying so shades hard. Of red.
Can't even open my eyes.
I do not know how much time passed before Jim returned home from his shift as Nicole is tied up and the kids are sleeping. I can just imagine the nightmare that she still lives to
it's
this
horrible.
Day.
At the preliminary trial, she tells the courtroom that she heard Jim come home and greeted Arthur with a howdy.
Yes, after all, Jim knew Arthur. He was welcomed to
their
home plenty of times before this. After that, she heard Jim yelling as he was being beaten with the hammer that they retrieved from his own garage.
As I said before, this is really disturbing. I really have a hard time with this story.
It's hard.
He yelled, "What the fuck?" according to Nicole, and also yelled for her help.
Naturally, as one would. I had to remind myself that Nicole was a victim in this part, and she was on drugs, because I got really fucking irritated with her response. Because when Jim yelled, "What the fuck, you know, Nicole, help me," she responded, "What the fuck, I can't do anything, I'm tied up."
Yeah.
I understand we don't know how we're going to react in a situation, but that instantly irritated me. No offense anybody, but I was kind of like, whoa, bro, that's your reaction?
Then, because she was still in the doorway, she visibly saw Arthur attacking Jim with the hammer.
Yeah, they were like moving down the hallway towards her, and Jim was being stabbed because Arthur had that hammer in one hand and a fucking knife in another. I don't know how many stabs. It's
disturbing.
It's awful. So Jim is literally being chased down his own hallway and getting beaten with his own hammer.
Jim fell onto the bathroom floor and his legs were in the hallway.
Nicole, still in the doorway, was able to watch the entire vicious attack.
Arthur left him in the bathroom for a minute, walked into the bedroom where Nicole was.
I'm just kind of envisioning just agitation. I don't know why he walked back into where she was. Who knows? They were all crackigated, remember?
Crack. He went back into the bathroom where Nicole watched him grab Jim's hair. Heard Jim say, "Oh, God." And then continued to watch Arthur slice his throat and kill him.
Jim would end up with over a dozen hammer wounds. Like I said, I don't know how many stab wounds he got, and ultimately died from the slicing of his throat.
Even though she just watched her boyfriend getting murdered, her mourning wasn't over quite yet.
Arthur returned to the bedroom that Nicole was in and proceeded to duct tape her to a bedpost.
He then went to the basement where their 10-year-old was sleeping. He applied duct tape to his eyes and taped his hands behind him.
This motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
He then carried the little man up to the bedroom and set him next to his mom, Nicole, on the bed. So they're both there taped up and on the bed. Nicole's, you know, bleeding from her throat. And he just kind of tosses the little boy next to her.
Arthur loses it again.
Crackigated.
Yep, crack. Because the boy or Nicole tried to say or not to say things, what to do to save their lives.
Arthur threw the little guy in the closet, and he fucking hit the little dude with a hammer, too.
That is so disturbing.
In the head. It, mother, this, and we're not done yet.
I know.
Boys and girls.
I know. Nicole is yelling at him to stop, and he takes the hammer to her, telling her to shut up.
Yep. So now our little boy is tied up and in the closet. She's cut in the throat and has, you know, hammer wounds. At some point, she is blindfolded and she ends up on the floor of the bedroom.
He retrieves the baby girl, just 5 years old, and brings her into the same bedroom. Now this gets worse.
Nicole's testimony at the prelim was fucking brutal, to say the least. She said that she heard sounds of attempted sexual abuse of her five-year-old baby girl, that she could hear Arthur opening a lubrication bottle, and that she didn't think that Arthur was able to complete the act.
Thank goodness.
But
still, it's a...
Ugh.
This is when Arthur demands that Nicole and her little girl retreat down to the basement, which isn't really a basement. It's a condo, so it's like the lower level, leaving the injured boy in the closet.
He zip ties Nicole and puts a sock in her mouth and seals it with duct tape. He also uses a nearby phone cord to assist him in securing her to the chair.
He leaves them and returns with a razor blade and the heroin on a plate.
I've never done heroin.
I
didn't know you did that yet. I don't know how they do it.
Me either. Something with a
spoon. So he's asking Nicole's all sorts of questions, which I guess, could she answer? At this point, I thought her mouth was
socked and taped.
He asked her how he has to cut himself in order to commit suicide.
Jesus.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing.
No, he needs to do that.
And then he also asked her how much heroin he would need to overdose. Bro, just...
all of it.
Do it all.
Yeah. Then he forces Nicole to snort a line, telling her it will calm her down.
I'm sure that's exactly what heroin... is that what heroin does?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it does make you calm down. So he... I don't know. Was the sock still on her throat? I have questions. How'd she snort the heroin?
He was angry and said he refused to go down as a pedophile or having attempted to rape her daughter. But he did it, though.
You fucking attempted to rape her daughter, you cocksucker. Jesus Christ, you're going down as a pedophile. Sorry.
He did a boatload of heroin, and Nicole said it sounded like he had a death rattle.
Have you ever heard the death rattle?
No. Oh, not in real life.
God. I never wish that upon you.
Mm.
I heard it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what I'm assuming is she kind of waited there. Well, she was high. She was on heroin. She probably kind of had to wait there for a minute. And when she hears Arthur kind of doing the death rattle, she's sure that he's passed out now. So she gets her 5-year-old little girl to find some scissors and cut mommy free. Like, go get the scissors and cut me free. And the little heroic 5-year-old does. She is amazing.
Nicole wrapped her little girl up in a blanket, admitted to wanting to stab Arthur real quick, like, but instead, the two of them escaped.
She said that in the testimony.
She wanted to kill him.
She was like, I thought about killing him real quick, but instead we ran away. 911 was called by their neighbor. This part's confusing to me. Their neighbors are also Jim's brother. In one story or one news thing, I read that there was a car or passerby that called the 911. The other story said her sister-in-law called 911 or whatever.
It's a little confusing.
Somebody called 911. That's all we know.
When the police arrived, pressure was being applied to Nicole's neck where she was bleeding, and he said there was visible signs that she had been restrained.
Yes, sir. Police say that when they arrived, among many things Nicole was saying, she said that the two of them had never dated, that they were just really good friends.
Nicole also testified that before overdosing, Arthur said that this entire evening was planned and that he threw his life away for nothing. I believe meaning her and the relationship they had.
I think he wanted to have a relationship with her and
he threw it away.
It wasn't going to happen, and so now I'm just going to kill everybody. Say fuck it. Police found Arthur shirtless in the basement, overdosing from heroin, foaming at the mouth.
Unfortunately, I shouldn't say that.
Oh, come on.
Unfortunately. They found him. They revived him with a miracle drug of Narcan.
If you don't have Narcan, fucking get it.
We have it.
If you haven't heard... oh, Jesus, just listen to shit about fentanyl right now, please. For fuck's sakes, it's insanity what's going on. Enough of the soapbox. Police initially found cocaine, I guess crack cocaine, and the hammer that was used on 3 of the 4 victims, because he didn't use it on the little girl.
The odd thing to me from what you found.
Yeah.
Is Arthur arrived at their home around...
I think 4:30 a.m.
Attacked Jim, and he arrived home from work at 6 a.m., but the 911 call didn't happen until noon.
I don't know. Timeline seems weird to me, is all.
But, well, there were drugs involved.
And I don't know. It just seems sketchy.
It does seem sketchy.
But I'm just a dumb shit. Fully admit it.
Try to hide it.
The body cam footage of one of the officers rescuing the boy was used during the prelim trial. They literally saved the little man's life. And his uncle truly believes that the little man stood up for his mom during the altercation.
Yeah.
Also, I want to say that during that video, officers are amazing. Go online and watch it.
Yeah. The young girl was released to Jim's brother, Joe, and they continued to care for her until Nicole was released from the hospital where she was in stable condition.
The little man was in the hospital much longer than his mom, as he sustained wounds to his head from the hammer.
God damn.
I know.
Poor kid.
And when Arthur came to at the hospital, he was asked if he hurt anyone by an officer, and Arthur replied with, "I think I need an attorney."
Well, yeah, duh. Once released from the hospital, Arthur was charged with murder of Jim Matthews.
The news spread through Detroit via radio station WWJAM News Radio in Southfield that Jim had just left. That's where he worked.
Our friend lives in Southfield.
We don't have friends. Wow. Jim had been a news reporter or person there for over 7 years.
Arthur pled no contendere, which means...
Nolo contendere.
Contendere. Okay, yeah. No contest, which means no trial, a sort of plea de guil.
Plea de guil. Fucking lawyer talk, I tell you.
A guilty plea.
You know, I don't want to dog victims, but I sure would have liked to see a trial on this one. Guilty plea was first-degree murder.
2 counts of assault with intent to murder.
And 3 counts of unlawful imprisonment.
Arthur heading behind bars with no possibility of bail or getting out anytime soon. It also meant no rape charges.
Right. No pedophile charges.
Mm-hmm.
You're a pedophile, mm-hmm. Arthur. Mm-hmm. During Arthur's sentencing trial, the judge, oh my God, the judge was so bold. Man.
The judge was a fucking cock, and I love it.
Dude. okay, the judge's name is Judge Biernat. Biernat, is that his hat?
Yeah, I think so.
And here, I'm going to have to crank this up because it's a little quiet, but here we go, Boo. I'm going to play it.
Okay.
Murder. And you're really the embodiment of evil, okay? And it's good that you'll never see the light of day outside of the prison, because you can't be among people, obviously. The only thing that's amazing is that we don't have—you didn't kill all of them. So, and I understand you tried to commit suicide yourself. Is that accurate or not?
Accurate.
Okay. See, this is going to sound harsh. Try to commit suicide before you do any of this. Take yourself out so you don't kill people and try to rape 5-year-olds.
Oh, did you hear that?
That's messed up, yeah.
Did you hear that last part?
Wait.
He has to register as a sex offender. Mother... Fucking right, you do. Bam, bitch. Was that harsh or
He's
what?
He's a red dot on
Judge
the map.
Judge was not fucking around on that one.
No, he told him to kill himself and...
Dude.
No, he gave him hell.
Nicole addressed Arthur during the sentencing, letting him know that Arthur had took the rock of their family away.
More importantly, the little man wrote a letter to Arthur, whom he knew well. This wasn't a stranger to their family, and it was read in court on his behalf.
Good job on you, little man. I'm so proud of you.
Yes.
Jim's brother stated after the trial that there was not a punishment in heaven or hell suitable for what Arthur did to his brother and family.
Arthur was able to speak. He said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay,
so
at least y'all know how I feel about them speaking. His was probably the most sincere that I heard, but that doesn't mean jack shit
nope,
at all.
Nothing at all.
Doesn't mean jack shit.
You can say sorry all you want. Doesn't
yep.
It doesn't make up for
doesn't
what you did.
Take away the fact. And he planned it. Jim's family rejects his apology with the reasoning that he just wanted to make himself look better.
Yep.
So the resources I use, Montcalm County Circuit Court, there's press release video by the prosecuting attorney, Peter Lucid, Jameson Cook in the Macomb Daily News, and other shit online. Fucking Arthur. Oh, crack. Crack-a-lacka.
Well done, Your Highness. It was a great story.
It was an awful story. And if any of you happen to remember the story or were around at that time, let us know. Let us know what you think. We are so fucking ready for the happy ending because...
Please.
All of our stories are dark. And all of them have a hard...
This one was a little more dark than most. Inaudible Darling.
There's Inaudible Darling. The song is called Dink.
Thank you for choosing Michigan Murders and Music. Please rate the show wherever you listen. Michigan Murders and Music is produced by The Boots. Episodes are researched and written by Your Highness. Edited by Your Highness. Views and opinions are the sole stupidity of us and us alone. Don't blame others, please. Listening to this podcast could quite possibly cause major problems to your earballs and definitely will mess up your kids. Permission has been given to us by the bands and we purchase our music on Bandcamp.com. Support your local music scene and all local music scenes.